Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers that reach across the country to share our love of astrology with you. We talk about what's going on this moment and time in the stars, and hopefully let give you a way of seeing how the stars are manifesting both in your life and in the headlines, and give you what you need to manage the times to the best of your ability and make the most out of it, make it work for you. A little later on in tonight's talk, we will give out the phone number to call in if you would like us to give you some input on your chart. But first, we'll begin by talking about the time and begin by introducing ourselves. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'm joined by
Ann Ortley here on the East Coast at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Wolf, who is our third partner, is not here at the moment, but may be dropping in at any moment, and is always with us in spirit. And Mark and Ann take the live version of Access Astrology at the Open Center on Tuesdays.
Right. Right.
Is that right? And what time do you meet at the Open Center on Tuesdays?
6:30 to 7:30 Tuesday nights at 22 East 30 Street. So it's good.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And tonight, the moon has just entered Gemini, which is it gives us a little more room to move. Is that Mark joining us?
That's Mark joining us.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
That's Mark Wolf. We've just gotten started, Mark. Great.
Okay, good. Welcome to
Wonderful.
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Monday.
Well,
sorry, where am I?
Monday.
Tuesday is when you two show up. Today mm-hmm. we are still feeling the heaviness of the Sun, Venus retrograde, Mercury, and Mars all in Scorpio. Now, this last weekend at a Women and Spirituality Conference here at Minnesota State University, which brought people from all over the Midwest, which was really interesting. We did one of the presentations I did was an actor drama where I had people do the walks of the planets and then act out the phases of the moon and then the chart of the day. And when they act out the chart of the day, you put the zodiac all around the room and they have, you know, Saturn in Libra, then followed soon after that by Sun, Venus, Mercury, Vesta, Mars, all in Scorpio, and they could feel the heaviness. They were all sitting there brooding, scowling over the
corner
of the room,
or looking
thoughtful over there in the corner. It felt like the room was going to fall off in that direction. So we're really feeling this heaviness, this introspection, and noticing that the mind can get stuck with this lineup in Scorpio, and our hearts, whatever we're focusing on, sticks.
Right.
And if we're focusing on something that we love, something beautiful and wonderful, how wonderful. We're meditating. If we're focusing on a project or an art project or, you know, writing an article, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
If we start to obsess about a problem or a person or look for the answer outside ourselves in the Scorpionic approach to other people's resources, wanting something that someone else has as a solution to our problem, we can get really stuck there and it can feel very sad and difficult, or if we're just miserable, you know, not necessarily wanting something. So when is Mars going into Sagittarius?
Thursday, the 28th, three more days of darkness, and then it becomes light.
And, you know, Mars is the traditional ruler of Scorpio, so when it leaves... Yeah,
we're going to feel so much better. I mean, actually, Mars loves being in Scorpio because he's a very effective killer. And he's stealthy and he's sneaky and he's, you know, he's a predator and he gets away with it. You know, it's a predatory sign when Mars is in this sign. When he moves into Sagittarius, he's much more of a light bearer and he's a little more when he's in a fire sign, so we actually have some light. And all the planets that are now answering to Mars and Scorpio, because every planet goes to Venus, all the Libra planets are going to Venus, and she's talking to Mars. And Mars is in Scorpio going, okay, got it, you know. And when he shifts, I think we're going to feel so much more better. so much better.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. And one of the suggestions I'm giving even now, is if you get stuck in a mood, to use Sagittarius medicine to handle that stuckness, that emotional depth, and that is to take a walk, reconnect with nature, look for a more philosophical perspective, but mainly physically move, because the planets in Scorpio can make you feel like you're stuck down a well. And again, if you like what you're stuck in, go for it. If you want to put your focus in a place, it's a great time to focus on meditation right now.
Yeah.
But if you don't like where you are, see how you can get that, give your body a metaphor for movement and change, because that sense of movement lets us feel that we can move out of the difficult situation the person's in. If you know someone who is stuck and depressed because this lineup is not particularly good with impulse control, it tends to get stuck and then take action on that. We've seen that the recent raise in suicides over the last, while this lineup's been in Scorpio, before the sun got there, that if you see someone who is in that stuck place, don't try to cheer them out of it, but do take a long walk with them. Take them to the woods. Give them a sense that they can change place, they can change perspective. And just by being with them in that place and helping them move through the world, you can begin to watch a sense of hope come back. So I just put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, what are you seeing this week?
Well, we did today have Mercury conjunct Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And,
in Scorpio.
Nice. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
In Scorpio, right. And so they're getting along in a very Scorpio way. And it made today and really going into the next couple of days this good chance to discuss Scorpio-type stuff, you know, in relationship and, you know, with the people you're connected with. And so, you know, we do have this Scorpio energy, so use it. And I think the notion of if you're feeling stuck and it's not in a good place, then yes, move towards Sagittarius. But if you can handle it, go ahead and use the Scorpio energy to clear some stuff out, because it really is a cleaner outer, you know. It's a cathartic kind of an energy. So things that need to be let go of, or things that need to be brought up in relationship, or, you know, whatever connections we have with people. This is a time to do it. Doesn't mean it's going to feel good. You know, you go down before you come back up. But, you know, it'll work. Like, this is an energy that'll work with you.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think we have to recognize that we're in that last little culmination, too, when Mars hits those last degrees of Scorpio. It has an extra little kick to it. And
that's
the next few days, people are kind of really going to be feeling kind of an extra oomph. You know, I had I was talking to somebody the other day, and she's like, 5 more days till fire. And I started to laugh. I said, counting, are you? And she's like, I am. 5 more days till the planet gets into fire. Now, this week, the moon does not go into any fire. So until we get to Thursday, we're really in the water. We're really in the dark of the swamp.
But we can, that Mars, and we'll feel it intensely Wednesday night as the moon heads into Cancer. Really kind of be cozy and take care of one another on Wednesday night. It's a good time to really cozy in and look at your dreams, keep a dream journal.
Right.
One of the pieces, looking at the headlines and the changes around this and the nastiness of this election campaign, I'm seeing Saturn is just really pulling out of orb with its square to Pluto. And it's interesting that as Saturn pulled out of the orb to the square to Pluto, the elections stopped looking so certain, as now there seems to be more of an actual run for the money instead of just a Democratic debacle coming on.
Right.
And that the sort of death of the disrespect for authority as it is, what we saw with Saturn square Pluto, is not number one headline It's starting to shift.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we now see Saturn is beginning to pull away. You know, we've been dealing with this T-square of Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto, and Saturn's just beginning to pull away from its end of the work, which it's been doing, hitting those two planets off since the beginning of 2000, I mean, since November of 2008. And I'm thinking that that whole time was deconstructing the old system. And what we may see after this next election is less focus on deconstruction. There hasn't really been a chance to build up anything new. It's just been one nasty kind of pulling each other down after the other. But we might begin to see some new reconstruction in a better way coming after this election, if it is not the debacle that it looks like it could be,
mm-hmm.
if it moves forward.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to end up being a little more conservative just because the North Node and Pluto are in Capricorn. But I don't.
Right.
I'm hoping it's not going to be the wipeout that they're making noise about it to be.
Right.
But if it is, you know, Barack Obama actually, as he put it, and I think it's true, he's got Mars at 21. So 21 months into his, what's it called? 21 into his service, he's going to have to fight. And actually, if you think about how he did with Hillary, he really comes in at the end. He's kind of a strong finisher. So we'll see if he loses a bunch of stuff, if it makes him kick up a bit in terms of how he fights for the rest of the term. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I these teabag people are really fascinating to me. And I attended a lecture on them and the Mars in, when they actually had the tea party, it was Mars at 3-4 of Capricorn. And now Pluto's there. You know, so it's kind of an interesting, resonance. And Pluto is, you know, the Mars Tea Party. They were, you know, it was conscious. I mean, the one back when they threw the tea bags off the boats, it was a conscious act of insurrection. These people just feel crazy to me. So I'm kind of like crazy and just nihilistic. Let's just destroy everything, rather than looking and saying consciously, what do we want as a community? What is our vision as a culture? Where are we headed? You know, and there isn't doesn't seem to be any of that kind of conversation.
My enemies lose. No.
Yeah.
It's more important that my enemies lose than our country finds its way.
Right, and more important that you're horrible and I'm going to block everything you do rather than coming up with a positive solution. So there's a little part of me that goes, okay, guys, you get part of the deal, and then Barack can sit on your head. I hope he does, but you know what I mean. It's kind of one of those, you know, they can jump up and down and scream and yell and blame everybody. And then the other thing I think they ought to do with that damn filibuster is they ought to make them talk like Mr. Smith had to when he went to Washington, you know, when Jimmy Stewart's reading away, you know. They don't get to just say, I filibuster. You got to stand there and read the Bible for 20 hours. And then you got to get a friend in to do it. And you got to keep doing it and block the work rather than saying, I'm going to filibuster. It's like, no, filibuster. Actually do the work. Stand there and talk for 3 years. But anyway.
Yeah, don't phone in your filibuster.
Yeah, no phoning in your filibuster. You actually have to do it. But anyway, I'm cranky tonight. I can feel it. So,
okay.
You get the little Mars. The little Mars is stimulating my Jupiter Uranus.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. She's growling. But whatever.
And how
Not
do you
mean,
feel about
cranky.
The Chiron-Neptune conjunction?
How do I feel about it?
Yes. What do you see happening with that Chiron-Neptune conjunction? Because right now,
it's really
Chiron
close.
And Neptune are square Mars. It's it's been moving off.
Mm-hmm.
Chiron is at 2607 and Neptune is 2557. So they're really close.
Well, I think that's the whole thing with health care. You know, they're all saying, none of the Democrats are running on health care. I would sit there and go, no, the Republicans wouldn't let us pass the bill we wanted with the single-payer option, which actually introduces competition into the marketplace because they didn't want competition. So we've got this half-assed bill. I mean, it's better than it was. But nothing's better. A little bit something is better than nothing. We're moving forward. But we didn't get what we were supposed to get, which is competition in an open system. We got the health care companies writing the bill. So I think, you know, we should start going and saying, yeah, the Republicans blocked it. They blocked the bill we wanted. We got a mild middle bill. Leave us in so we can modify the bill and change it. Don't appeal it. It's, you know, single payer is actually Medicaid, Medicare. Those are the things you like when you get to be 65. Why not have it all the time? But anyway, I get crazy about this stuff. So I think that's why their Democrats are not running on health care, and I think it's silly. They should say, look, this was a great thing. We haven't had time to roll it out yet, and we're still figuring out what to do with it. And it needs tweaking, of course. Everything does, but it's a start.
Mm-hmm. And you see that from our astrological audience, that you see that from Chiron being the sign of the healer, Neptune, our vision about what it could be.
What
and
it could
also
be versus what it was.
Right, and the dissolution of it, or the fear that it could be dissolution. At square Mars, how much anger it's still bringing up on both sides,
right,
rather than action.
Rather than action about what to do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying, Mark?
The Neptune square Mars can bring up a kind of lethargy, though, too.
Right.
And that is a lot of what I think we're seeing. And so, you know, when the Tea Party folks get real active with their reactionary message, it gets a lot of press because they're making a lot of noise.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else is sitting back and saying, oh, I wish they wouldn't make so much noise. And you ask them, well, what do you want? What would work for you?
Right.
Oh, I don't know. They'll take care of it in Washington.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. if someone else is going to do that, you know, I don't have to do that.
Right.
And
that is the point.
Yeah, and so everybody needs to stand up and say, here's what would work for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we count noses. And if everybody's standing up and saying, here's what works for me, we'll find out who's the majority and who isn't. But instead, mm-hmm. we're being told that the loudest group must be the majority.
Right.
Not true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, remember those applause meters?
I have several neighbors going to the March for Sanity on next week. I think it's actually going to be a lot more fun, a lot more interest to people than the comedic process that it was just set up to be.
Yeah.
So people can see that it's that, you know, the quiet people are it's not like there's no opinions, and that strong belief systems don't necessarily always have to be shouted and screamed and irrational.
Mhm. Mhm.
Right. Yeah, but you know, it's too much that feeling that we get of having been hijacked by a small number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, you can hijack a government. We've seen it.
Yes, and, totally.
Yeah, and the same tactics are coming up again, and the press just goes along with it because they like to report things that are exciting.
Right.
So, but they know that. Perspective doesn't matter, you know. It's just excitement. And so
it's like
whatever
fight,
your message
you know?
Is,
yeah.
If you make a lot of noise, you get the coverage. So
right.
And speaking
but that is partly this it is partly the Neptune square Mars problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of loud news, and that we didn't go into the Scorpio, this lineup in Scorpio. Scorpio rules the reproductive, the organs of elimination and procreation. And it really worried me to see that the cholera epidemic hit in Haiti just with this lineup in Scorpio.
Right.
And because it's attacking right at that root chakra place that Scorpio rules. And when I see an incident like that lining up with the astrology, it seems that it has extra power and tends to take a run with it. There are also said there was a 7.5 earthquake off Indonesia, and one of their volcanoes is stirring up. So it's interesting. I often, you know, divination by headlines. The headlines do live out what we're seeing. And it worried me that there might be a tsunami with that, but apparently there wasn't. I think with that Chiron-Neptune conjunction, that might bring something like a flood. We have to look at how we handle water. Water, liquids,
well, because there's
floods,
so much water in the sky.
Tsunamis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if that would, you know, that destructive waters with Neptune square Mars are a real possibility. So just keeping an eye out for that. If you see if there's a flood warning, we're having torrential storms tonight, but I don't think we're having a flood warning. If you see a flood warning, take it seriously.
Right. Hmm. A flood warning.
Shall we put out, you said you had a call, you had an email from someone who, did you have a question on that email or just the comment on getting our Facebook and
It was a Facebook comment. Yeah, somebody had written and said we weren't on iTunes. So
okay.
I went
so
and looked and tried to make it happen. So if it's not on iTunes, email me back, Moon and Leo. Who wrote to me. I tried accessing your show via iTunes from San Francisco, and it says, this isn't available in the Apple U.S. store. Is it a technical issue? I love your show. And I don't know, you know. I'm like having
me.
Technical issues everywhere. What'd you say, Mark?
It's technical to me.
It's like, you know, there's all this stuff. I believe it should be out there. When I went to look, we did have an iTunes account, so I don't know if they didn't download it or if I'm supposed to do something or who knows.
It feels less technical now.
Huh? Yeah.
It feels less technical if there's a procedure.
It's like I think I'm supposed to do something, but I don't actually know. So I think it's set up. I mean, I thought it was out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. So forward
Good.
We go. Yeah.
And shall
so we'll
give
out
the
phone
number
for...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For people calling in. And I do think one of the things, you know, I had suggested to people lately is to take some time in these last few days, because one of the things we're working with Mars in Scorpio and Venus in Scorpio is they're in the path called the Via Combusta, which is the path of fire. And it's an illuminating path also, meaning there's some really interesting fixed stars up there. And so when we have Venus and Mars, more Venus right now, she's going through the path of fire three times. And so she's seeking to illuminate you on a deeper, deeper level. And with that in mind, your job is to say, okay, I'm seeking illumination. So Mark last week had this, you know, he talked about being in the cave in the darkness as a presence. And I've just been reverbing with that. So the last couple of days, I've been sitting, you know, making myself sit for like 10 or 15 minutes in a darkened room with no lights on. It's not as dark as a cave. I have a little ambient light. But and then after sitting there for a few minutes, just quietly in the dark, lighting a match. And the difference and the impact and the, it's kind of an interesting resonance. And it's really prompted a number of really interesting dreams. So I've been suggesting it to people as an exercise with these last few days of Mars in the very, very darkest
Beautiful.
Part of Scorpio. And I think it reflects back on that one, you know, Sagittarius is the starting light. You know, it says, okay, we're just going to have a little bit of light here. And the shift, when you go from the darkness to the match of light, it's really kind of startling, but it also is very illuminating, of course, but it's got this kind of, you can feel your energy move. And, you know, so I've kind of been saying, okay, let me go in there and clear out the space, you know, because it's down there. It's like a hole. And it's really been very illuminating with kind of sitting in the quiet darkness and then light and just kind of, and then going to bed. That's kind of been my little evening ritual for the last couple of days. And I have to say, it's been kind of fun.
Beautiful.
So, but Mark's thing last week when he was talking about the darkness has a presence, and we're so not in darkness normally, you know, there's so much light every place, and all hooked up to stuff. So it's kind of fascinating to give yourself a darkness exercise.
I do miss that about North Dakota is the night sky when you're far away from light pollution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you could
something
really...
Yeah, during the new moon, right?
It was unbelievable. Not as much as Santa Fe in New Mexico, where if you got up on the mountains there, because you're so close, there's less atmosphere to look through. You could really see the scars there.
Yeah.
The Milky Way was, you know, right down on you.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was beautiful.
Okay. So our call-in number, 347-215-8881, if you're listening tonight and you have a question you'd like to talk to us about, 347-215-8881.
We love comments from people. We have, if you have a question about your chart, or if you have a question about astrology in general, or comments on how you're seeing these aspects affect your life, we like to hear this all.
Right, and if you're feeling really private, you can email us. You don't have to write us. You can email us and ask us a question. That works too. and our email addresses are on the website. So the other thing I thought was kind of interesting is the whole thing with Clarence Thomas back up again. And that was certainly a Scorpio moment.
Oh, that was amazing.
Well,
yeah,
the Scorpio moment.
Yeah, definitely a Venus retrograde in Scorpio moment.
Yeah, the wife calling and saying, so are you going to change your story now? You know, like Anita Hill, she had to kind of go, what kind of day am I having, you know?
At 7:30 in the morning,
I know.
She did that.
I know.
And you could see that that's someone who had obsessed all night, who had been obsessing for however many years.
20.
Yeah. Or some subset thereof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a nodal return. It was 19 years. I'm like, nodal return.
Interesting.
Pluto series on the north.
How do you see the nodal returns happen?
Pardon?
How do you see the nodal returns work?
Well, when I think of cycles, I'm always one of those ones that pays attention to the number. So when they say 7 years, I go Saturn,
or
multiples of seven. 7, 14, mm-hmm. 22, 29. Jupiter, 12 years. Been doing this 12 years, 11 years, thinking of changing. I'm here in a Jupiter cycle. Thinking of moving on, Jupiter, after 11 years of doing it.
Right.
Nodal, I hear 19.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you see?
What's the difference on the nodal return? How do you see that pattern play out?
Well, the nodal return is it's a call to connect back and open up the space karmically, as opposed to a continuation of the existing story. Like, I think of the transits as being kind of the existing story as it unfolds, and with obviously certain ending cycles, like 11 years is an ending, 29 years is an ending. But the nodal returns have a resonance across time and space. So it's like, oh, yeah, remember when Clarence Thomas, remember those hearings? Remember how it just was like there was no, like the idea that someone would come forward and say, and why didn't she come forward when she was being sexually discriminated against in the workplace? And it's like, well, I mean, I was sexually discriminated against by my boss. I didn't do anything. He's got the power, And it was such a no-brainer, but then it was such a politicized process. And now we have a highly politicized election, and it's back in the news again, So,
right.
Yeah. Especially after he wrote the decision for the thing with unlimited funding for the election, and this election is awash in unnamed cash. Like in Richard, it's also 1971 when Richard Nixon had his Rosemary's Babies list, where she had the list of the big donors locked in her. Remember Rosemary Woods?
Yeah.
With the little shredder and the gap in the tape. I mean, it's like this old memories of all these rotten things Republicans have done. I don't know. To me, that's what Venus and Scorpio's been about. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was an interesting resonance. Boom, she popped back up. So, and I guess Anita's kids didn't know she'd even been in the thing, because she's teaching at Brandeis. They were like, "You were who? What'd you do?" Our law professor did what? And the pubic hair on the Coke can. Who can forget the pubic hair on the Coke can? And Long Dong Silver. That's like such a moment, So such a cultural iconic moment. But anyway, we have a caller, huh? Yep. What'd you
wonderful.
Say?
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying? I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I'm happy to hear the caller.
Oh, okay. All right. You didn't want to comment on Clarence, huh? Hi, 718. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air. Can we help?
Yes, you can. Should I give you my birth info first?
And sure.
Go?
Yeah. Yeah. That's always a good place to start. The very beginning. What's your birth info?
December 18th, 1985.
Okay.
7:24 a.m. Jamaica, New York.
Jamaica. 7:24 a.m.
Mhm.
And the birthday again, one more time.
December 18th.
Year
85.
Okay, cool.
7:24 a.m. in Jamaica, New York.
And what's your
You have quite a lovely lineup in Sagittarius. For although Mars is going to be talking to your chart soon, have Saturn, Mercury, Uranus, Sun, Venus, Ascendant, all lined up in Sagittarius. But you've been through quite a time over the years as Pluto has worked its way through your 12th house and is now on your Neptune in the first house. You're just sort of really arriving in this lifetime for the first time. in many ways.
Oh, finally.
It's been a long, yeah. I mean, you may have felt like the last decade was all about slogging through karma, and you could really never quite got the picture of why the story began, but may really begin to feel like, hey, this is my life, and it's what I make of it, rather than have these wild cards thrown at you. What was your question?
My question was is that I'm in school right now for acupuncture, and my school has several campuses around the country. One of them is in San Diego, and I was curious if it would be a good idea to relocate for a semester or two and see what that was about.
Is that a Sagittarian's question or what, honey? Sagittarians believe in travel far more than anybody else. I mean, it's just, you know, their Don't Fence Me In is their theme song. With your Mars-Pluto conjunct in the 10th house, it looks like that's wonderful for acupuncture and that level of focus, and that you are good at, that you may sometimes lose patience with working with clients on the slow method, but you have great sensitivity. So let's take a look at your relocated chart. And what are you seeing about the rest of her chart? I'll look at the relocated part.
I think it is having a bunch of stuff about, like, where do I want to go, and with Libra on the midheaven and Venus as the ruler joined to Uranus, I think it's like, yeah, I can go any place. What's exciting and where do I want to go? So I actually like the New York chart for learning and also for your connections. So I would think also of when you go someplace, probably part of the program is going to be internship. And if, you know, think about where do you want to actually settle down once you get the degree. And that's the key, because you're going to intern in some office. You're going to start making local connections. And so kind of think of it more as a long-term relocate rather than a short-term change. And with Saturn coming to your midheaven in the fall next year, that's a natural time to say, yeah, I think I'm going to move.
Where's the other one, the other place that your school has its...
The other location is in Chicago.
Okay, that's not what to do it. And you said San Diego.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just in general with school as of late, I've been really just not into it. I don't know, that's a Sagittarian...
Mm-hmm.
Just very distracted, very, like, can I leave now kind of deal, and right. I don't know where to go.
You better studying anything in short bursts rather than long haul. And I'm thinking that traveling would distract you more, but also may make you feel like you don't have to leave where you are to do the work. And you have to also, it'll be a lot easier for you when you're doing, like Anne said, and involved in patient treatment, because this abstract idea without people involved, without a reason to do what you're doing, just studying a lot of stuff doesn't really work for you. But when you've got to treat and you're actually looking for the answers to solve the problem in front of you, you'll be much more involved. It also looks like you could do, you know, you'd be good at something like emergency medicine, traveling to be helpful when there's a disaster somewhere.
Right.
And also specializing in working with animals or children while you do this work.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would say if
you really have to have reason to do it, or it won't be easy for you to stay there.
Yeah, if they have a school in Colorado, Denver, you've got nice lines as in Albuquerque or San Francisco.
Or yeah, I was thinking Santa Fe. I know there's two great acupuncture schools in New Mexico, in Santa Fe, one in Albuquerque. The New Mexico Colorado area was probably the best place to study for you.
Yeah. And Chicago doesn't have any lines, so I don't know that you know that's the place, unless there's a romantic interest there.
Yeah, but when you get her out of the East Coast, even though she's on a wonderful sun line on the East Coast, she has a loaded 12th house.
Right.
As someone who also has a loaded 12th house on the East Coast, I can have moments on the East Coast because my son is also near the ascendant there, but I still feel stuck in the 12th house.
Right.
And that you will feel much more in your power when you're west of your sun line, and even better west of your Venus line. And so that I can see why you want to travel.
I mean, it was either that or Brazil. I mean, I don't know.
A few differences.
Wow.
Do they have an acupuncture school in Brazil?
No, but just as far as, like, you know, like you said, doing emergency medicine, I was thinking, like, you know, acupuncture
mm-hmm.
without borders, like just traveling around the world. But, you
yeah.
know, looking at other countries, that's
one that
I'm
drawn
to.
But first you have to get good
to.
At that. I can definitely see some cool things happening for you, or some very intense transformative things. You've got some strong Mars-Pluto on the midheaven, a little run-in with authority figures in Brazil. It'd be better for you to stay on the coast, not head into the Amazon. You'd do better, you know, closer to Rio and the whole east coast of Brazil. But if you want to do that, I think it would be fantastic after you get your degree. So if you can think about, I'm going to do Doctors Without Borders as an acupuncturist and do emergency medicine, traveling around the world as soon as I get my degree, I think you'll find studying is a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, you know, like you said, it's a long haul, and Sagittarius in me
mm-hmm.
is freaking out really hard.
Right. So traveling to someplace
anymore.
New, studying where you can, either rather than, so you feel like you're diving into life, not just living it, that you might be able to concentrate more when you're actually in school.
Yeah. And I think also it is, right now, Venus is retrograde on your Pluto and your Mars, so you're kind of feeling like you're trapped. Trapped in hell. And you have to kind of say, it'll, once Venus gets out of the Via Combusta and finishes with her little jaunt in Scorpio, you're going to feel a lot better. Right now she's very crabby, you know, and all your fire planets are sitting in the water. You know, you got all that fire planets that don't have any fire in the heavens making them happy. Once Mars gets into Sag in this week, you're going to be like, okay, I got some energy again. And you'll feel much less drowning, swampy, you know, rah, 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 kind of cranky. That'll all go away. So.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I would go someplace you want to live, you know?
I don't know. I need to run around a little bit before I settle, I think.
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. But when
I
you're
agree.
Doing this,
I
you're kind of building
a
practice. Yeah, you're building a
mm-hmm.
practice somewhere, too, so.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, you're not going to really make a solid practice until after the Saturn return anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you may choose to travel and do your work, finding a way of doing traveling as a part of your regular work, whether you have a regular practice and then you go do stints in clinics around the globe once a year,
mm-hmm.
a working vacation, or whether you just don't settle down for a while. I think you can find a way of do that and do your work,
mm-hmm.
and that would feel good to you because your chart tends to feel caught between your desire to go exploring and play and, you know, experience life with all fists, you know, every bit of it you can, and the other side of you that wants to do something serious that matters. And so how can you travel enough and yet do something that is serious and matters
mm-hmm.
and be useful?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you have to watch out for now with Pluto on your Neptune is that really strong escapist streak of just you want out of here. You want easy out of here. But that if you can find ways of working it in healthier ways so that you are exploring but not necessarily out of here
mm-hmm.
and still keep building on what you've been building, it'll be fantastic.
That's so funny because as soon as Pluto passed over my ascendant and sun, I was like, okay, I'm like done with all the drama, but apparently the escapism is now my next forward step.
Yeah,
that.
Escapism is fun. You gotta love it. You know, it's a good time.
It is. It's great, but it's not conducive to school right now.
Right. So you know take. Well,
friends.
The British people, I think, have a really good idea. They do that gap year, where they
mm-hmm.
say go off and do stuff, and then come back and go to school. So you
yeah,
get to kind of get out and about, and then you come back mm-hmm. in and actually concentrate because you've taken a break. You know.
Yeah, I'm on the trimester schedule, so there's always no real breaks in between. It's like 3 weeks here, 3 weeks
mm.
there. So it's
yeah.
like you come down and then you're right back into it, and I just feel really burned out.
So doing so minimum necessary for you would be doing a term in another school,
yeah.
But maybe just transferring entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Give it a shot.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
And good luck, and tell us how it is.
All right. Bye.
I will let you guys know if I do.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, 604-771. You don't have your hand raised. If you want me to call and you press 1. I'm going to wait and see if the little red hand comes on. 604-771, you're listening on the air. If you want me to call and you raise your hand, press 1. No one pressing. Okay, cool. All right.
Okay,
so
give out the number again.
Our call-in number is 347-215-8881. If you call in with a question or you want us to explain a little thing about astrology or you want to chat. Chat. We're up for chatting. You can talk about Clarence Thomas if you want. You can talk about Barack Obama. You can talk about the crazy Palladian who didn't get the endorsement of the Buffalo Papers. So I was happy to see that.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, no, his hometown paper didn't even endorse him. It's, you know,
wow.
Makes me, well, the guy's really, you know, he's a little dangerous.
I know.
Yeah, he's a little scary.
I know. But that doesn't stop a couple of other people.
No, but it's kind of like, wow. And then I picked up my New York Magazine tonight, is how Sarah Palin can be president. And I'm like, I don't like this reality, you know?
No.
Like, this is not happy.
Not voting for that one.
Not voting for that one with my mind.
You know, but they know that it's something that jerks everybody's chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
mm-hmm. So then they say it. Yeah.
And Chris O'Donnell was talking about being, you know, that it's all just sexism that people are giving her a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And I find as a, you know, feminist woman that... a really obnoxious approach, because to me, I think that she's just being held against the standards of intelligence and awareness that you would ask anybody to. Personally, I don't think that. I mean, some of it may be sexism, but the vast majority of flack she's getting is because she can't back what she says for love or money.
And she can't form an English sentence. Well, the other, it's interesting, though, because Clarence Thomas, we were talking about him, and he got everybody to leave him alone by calling it a high-tech lynching. So now we're going to say we're being sexist to Sarah and get us to leave her alone. It's like, no, you're going to be president of the United States. You got to be able to take the crap, you know. I mean, you watch what's written about Barack Obama, and it's amazing. And if she gets in office, what's going to be done and written about her, you know? So, whatever.
So
but don't go saying sexist, and we can't call you for it, huh?
Right.
Yep.
June 23rd, 1948, at 9 p.m.
Uh-huh.
in Pinpoint, Georgia, is given out as Clarence Thomas's birthday.
What was that one? June 28th.
It is June 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
1948. Mm-hmm. At 9 p.m. in Pinpoint, Georgia.
Pinpoint? Wow.
Pinpoint, Georgia.
Yeah. Who knew there was a town called Pinpoint?
Who knew?
Yeah.
And so Pluto has just entered his 12th house cusp.
Ah, okay. So that's why
the wife. Time for his wife to have gone a little
off
on the nutso side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he has natally Saturn and Pluto in Leo, in his seventh house,
mm-hmm.
19 and 13 degrees. So Mars was squaring that. In the seventh house is a house of partnership, both legal partnerships. So you can see that's often a place for having partnerships with powerful people, but also for spouse. So that'd be a pretty powerful spouse, little Plutonian and Saturn, some control issues.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto is squaring the lineup in Scorpio was
Pluto's
squaring
opposite all
his Saturn and Pluto. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's also opposite all his Cancer planets.
Yes.
With him in Pluto opposition.
Yeah.
So they come rising from the dead, man, on these trends.
Right. Yeah, Pluto is opposing his Venus and opposing his Mercury and opposing his Sun.
Right.
All in early Cancer.
So we all get to remember the pubic hair on the coke can.
Mm-hmm.
Pluto from the dead.
You know, what suggests with that, with Pluto opposed his Venus, is that things have not gone well emotionally at home, and she's now looking for a reason why they're not going well,
mm-hmm.
and looking back to, you know, what he may obsess on. He may even be talking about it at home, about the, you know, the horrible thing that was done to him once.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a reason why she's starting to obsess about this, with Pluto opposing his Venus, Mercury, and Sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some guy said he listened to, it was 7:30 in the morning, too. So she was up all night.
Right.
Or woke up in the middle of the night and said, I'm going to call her in the morning. First available, you know. Anyway, well. All right, we got a caller, so let me pick it up. Hi, 760, how are you? Got a question for us? Hello, you got a question for us?
Oh, I'm just kind of enjoying listening to you. I've been listening to you for a few weeks here.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Heather, this is Renee out here in Palm Desert.
Oh, hi. How are you, Renee? Yes.
So tell me, you said a while back when you, do you want my birthday?
Oh, yeah, if you want
yes.
to. You have a question
yes,
for us.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
October 22nd, 1957.
Mm-hmm.
Stafford Springs, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. What time?
12:58 p.m.
So right before, right after lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right after lunch.
Right after lunch. And did you have a question for us?
Well, a while back, Heather, you said that I should probably try to stick out what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they're just really, it's really...
And if you could, for the audience here, and just give them, you know, what you can about what are you doing that you need to stick out or not need to stick out, and how, and
I run a holistic,
you.
I run a holistic network,
mm-hmm.
and we, and it's kind of like at a crux because I've spent the last 4 years trying to build it, so I'm
mm-hmm.
kind of at this place of, you know, how do I restructure or. You know, is it time to get a job for me, or
mm-hmm.
it's a little confusing here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're wondering, and we were talking about restructuring, and you said you're feeling impatient now.
Well, I'm feeling
even more.
I'm feeling that they don't.
Talk.
They don't see what I do. My work is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't.
Oh, underappreciated.
Very underappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. And
at one level,
so
the work with the directory is the work with the network is underappreciated and undervalued. My
mm-hmm.
personal healing work is sort of taking off, but you know I'm trying to get a job, but that has spirit hasn't really allowed that to happen, and so
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of.
You know, we just know that you're in the last few months of Pluto in your 12th house. I mean, it's going to segue out, hit your ascendant, and back up and go back and forth over it. But you will feel so different with Pluto in your first house. So much more visible.
And
more
comfortable, too.
Yeah, that's a very uncomfortable lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then you get a bunch of Pluto squares. That's another issue we'll talk about. But the publishing feels very natural to you. Your just chart is so bad at setting healthy boundaries. You know, with a Sun-Neptune conjunction at the beginning, you've trained everybody to not appreciate you.
So.
And how can you retrain them like dogs? You know, to be, not get so much get upset at them as just saying, how can I take responsibility for how people treat me and do it better? And say, you know, if people don't appreciate you more with either money, time, or support, then, you know, it seems like you need to make it very clear how they can appreciate you.
Yeah, but when
your
I make
money,
it clear, I mean, you know, I'm just working for free. So I make it clear, and then there's no support. You know,
right.
So
but you can
I
make
mean,
it clear in a kind, you when I hear you talk, You sound really kind of pissed off about the subject, and you wait until
I really
you're
am.
So
I mean,
pissed
I,
off.
Because,
right.
I mean,
I
I've had people tell me this weekend, well, you didn't ever refer me any business. That was a friend of yours. I mean, it's just like, and another
and
person said,
you're
well, I never, these aren't my ideal
that.
Clients. And
mm-hmm.
I say, oh, well, what about the one you just got, the coaching client you got for a year? I am getting
right.
pissed off.
You wait until you're that pissed off to.
It's taken me 4 years to get this pissed off.
Okay, I understand, and I would like to have had you deal with this a year ago. But if you can take this situation, I think, when Mars gets out of Scorpio and goes into Sagittarius, you know, by the end of the week, and say to people, you know, I think that you need to let go of it more and say. Okay, you don't like how it's being done. Well, I can't run it for free for nothing. Either it becomes more cooperative and you all kick in and do more, or
It ends.
It goes, and I'm going off to my own work.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you want?
No, I mean, I don't see any. I mean, I don't see anything else other than that.
Mhm.
You know what I mean?
Maybe
I can't.
Go ahead, Mark.
Maybe that'll be the best. You know,
mm-hmm.
like go ahead and let it get uncomfortable for other people.
Right.
And you know, sit back and learn from what they say, how it is that they could work together, but. Rather than setting yourself out in front, take a back seat. Let them try to drive the car for a while and
mm-hmm.
see as they bumble around in the front seat trying to figure it out. I think the idea will come to you how exactly that group could, in fact, work together.
Mm-hmm.
But with you in the front seat and your hands on the wheel, nobody's going to drive
you.
Too hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you're
like
the bad mom.
And after, if you could give them a warning, say, okay, until the first day of spring. After the first day of spring, if we are not working more together here, and this is not more cooperative, and you don't help me, and we don't make this together, then I'm going to let it go, because. Right at the end of December, your progressed moon leaves Virgo and enters Libra, and right a month before that, but it begins to really kind of catch steam in December, so that you'll probably find that people will be more helpful to you, or you can bring in more partnership and more collaborative work when your progressed moon gets out of Virgo and heads into Libra.
My question is, am I wasting my time, and should I just be focusing on my own work, my own book, and just say my idea for community, people don't get.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not going to get it.
I don't see that. I see that it's still up in the air, that what your way of doing it, where it's been set up so that you've been enabling them, and
right.
you need to make it a whole less codependent relationship.
Right.
But she likes that.
But give them time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
give them time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's
go
a
ahead,
part
Mark.
With the Venus-Saturn, you know, that it's mm-hmm. hard for Renee to ask for her value, right? That's
right.
her life lesson. And she's
right.
got Venus-Saturn in the 11th house of groups. So
yeah.
the publishing is really indicated with that whole stellium in Libra.
I agree.
But the leadership of the group is really hard for her to say, you know, I need some help, or I need some appreciation, or I need something, because she's Saturn rising, and Saturn in Sag says, you know, I've got a bazillion and one things to do, and I don't have time to ask anybody to help me, because if I ask them, it's going to take time out of my stife. And with the moon rising in the 7th, her clients or her people tend to treat her like mom, in a bad transference issue. So you basically have to kind of give them some boundaries in the sense of this is what I need somebody to do, you know, and kind of publicize what people need to do, because you're going to downsize. Sit down and figure out which jobs of that you like and dump the ones you don't like. Or raise the fee for the people that are in the group, because, you know, the way to make them appreciate the value of it is to say, well, this is the cost. Because it has to pay for itself. If it doesn't pay for itself, it's a lovely service you're doing for free.
Right.
You're not getting anything out of it. And
right.
with the Venus-Saturn, it's very, very hard to ask for what you're worth, because the inclination is they're always going to say no first. And then they say no at 11 and a half, and then at 14 and a quarter, they say yes. So you have to ask twice. Can't ask just once. And if your chart asks once and they don't show up, then you have to ask again, because the way your chart is set up, you have to ask twice to get to yes.
Mom.
So I would say, you know, and you've got two modalities you're running. You're running the network and you're running the catalog. So it was an interesting, you know, when you said it, there's a bookstore guy who, the guy in Astro America, it's an excellent bookstore, and he wrote, you know, he sends a weekly newsletter out that's really good, and I used to buy a book when I got the newsletter once a month, that was, you know, once a month I'd buy an astrology book or some kind of book. Once he went to once a week, I thought, oh, shit, I can't afford a book once a week. So I started reading the email every week. It was great. And in the meantime, nobody's buying books. You know, we're all reading the email, but nobody. So he sent a note out saying, buy books. You know, and I'm asking because people said if I didn't ask and it went out of business that, you know, whatever. But, you know, I hate to ask, you know. But at the same time, all these people went, oh, wow, yeah, I used to buy books all the time. But when you went to a weekly format, I stopped, you know, because that was my you know, the book, the email comes in, I see a book I want to read and I buy it, you know. And so for him, he wrote back like a couple weeks later, thank you so much, everybody bought books, it was great, and you even passed my name along, and wonderful, wonderful. And your chart's the same way. You have a lot of trouble asking. So if mm-hmm. you can give yourself permission to ask them and then sit there quietly and wait for someone to actually show up and do it. In other words, not just say, okay, do, you know, announce it, and if nobody shows up, announce it again and say, I need some volunteers or I need some people to do whatever. I'm not sure what your model is, but that you need to have them show up in place. Otherwise, they're not part of the community and, you know, they're out. I don't know what your models are, but you have to come up with a policy for it because your vision is good, Saturn and Sag. The idea we all sit around the campfire and we enhance each other's business, it's great. And the publishing's totally indicated with the stuff in Libra.
But the problem is I spend so much time working on this other thing that there's no time to, or there's no leftover time to be writing and trying to get published.
Well, then you have to kind of say that some of that needs to go away, or it needs to be set up as a pay for view.
Paying gig. But that's what I would say is that you need to let go of the control of that more and say to people, look, I don't have the time to do this anymore, but I want to help keep it going. Who can put in some time every you know, month and make this more of a cooperative and less a paying gig for you and put your energy back into your own stuff, but give this a chance to become something else?
Okay.
You know, because all I hear from you is dump it or have them appreciate me more. And I think there's a third perspective. You know what I mean?
Which I've been trying to hold on to. I've been having meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been trying. I just, this last couple of days have been really hard.
You've got an end zone that you would like to, you know, nurse this community, that they can even be even better and serve everybody better if everybody gets involved.
Right.
And if, you know, within 6 months, if you're going to have to be focusing on your work
right.
and be doing this less.
Right.
So
that's what you see in 6 months. I'll be focusing on my work more.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
yeah, because one Saturn.
I don't know why I'm in such a cranky old mood today about this all.
Because Venus is on your node in the midheaven, saying,
right.
"Got to make some changes."
Scorpio is making you cranky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like I'm going to pass through it soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All
feels
right,
better soon. Yeah.
You guys are great to listen to. I like the three of you.
Good.
Oh, wonderful. Good.
We have fun.
So, yeah. No, I make a point of listening to it. I've never done that before, so.
Wow.
But,
cool. Always
all
good.
Right, well, I'm sorry I'm such a grump.
No, grumps are good.
Okay.
That's the whole point. When you're grumpy, you change.
Right. Okay.
And when you get grumpy, you're kind of like, rawr, 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 you know. And it's like, okay, I am grumpy. What do I need to shift?
It's growing pains.
Yeah.
I mean, and it is such a great vision. I wish people would get it better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they
do
miss it when it leaves.
So just for our audience, can you give out your website for the group?
Yeah, it's desertholisticnetwork.com.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there's a lot of service providers. There's classes, free audio downloads. There's great workshops and calendars.
Wonderful.
Very cool.
Okay.
Oh, and also
so
you can download 3 chapters of my book.
Yay.
Great.
So, which
so
is The Shaman Shell.
It's
okay.
Time for us to go.
Yep.
And we want to sign off this week. Remember to take good care of yourself between now and Thursday as it is a bit stormy and moody and wet in the sky
and crabby.
And the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And crabby. As the moon heads into Cancer in a few days right now, it's in Gemini, so we're talking about it more. But just be kind of really good to one another and hang in there. Then we head into the moon in then the energy will shift on Thursday as Mars goes into Sagittarius. We'll keep an eye on what comes with that. This is Heather Rowan Robbins checking out from St. Paul, Minnesota, and we are seeing Mark.
Mark Wolf in New York City.
And Ann Ortley in New York City at my bright red desk. With a cat on the print.
On Blog Talk Radio, you can see our website and get a hold of us and go to astronyc.com and get, we would be happy to do a personal reading.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye now.